We're glad that you're here. If you're a guest, thank you so much for choosing to be with us today. We have a lot of things coming up for the fall season. We're going to kick off our fall series on September 29th called Endless Possibilities, and we're going to talk about the potential that we have in us that God has given us to be able to really serve and move forward and to conquer sometimes our own defeats and stuff. We're going to talk about endless possibilities. We got trunk or treats coming up, something for the kids in October, unique here. Our Christmas tree giveaway, 100 Christmas tree on our property, given away to families that have a need. They can use that money to do other things with. We're going to give them a live Christmas tree and sponsored by one of our local farmers. A lot of things going on. We want you to be a part of it. And we got a number of folks that are on vacation. I saw a video this morning of one family as they're driving across the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, that long bridge. And so they're out there having a good time, and if you get a chance to get away, I hope you do too. Come on back. Remember us when it comes to giving. We have online giving so that when you're gone, you can help support the ministry. Summertime for churches is always a crunch, but we appreciate the faithful support. Today I'm going to talk about the principles of communication, just for the next few weeks, I'm going to be picking out topics that I think are practical, that sometimes we need to see what the Scripture says about them to get a better handle, and many times on relationships. Most relationships are damaged because of the way we communicate. That can be the way we talk to somebody, the tone, the body language, or whatever. It could be a lot of different techniques that we have for communicating. Some folks just are not good at communicating. Some folks are very good at it, but everybody has gone through that time to where you run into conflict and confrontation and relationships issues because simply you did not communicate the proper way. And the Scripture talks a lot about communicating, and we're going to share with you one passage this morning about communicating. There are a lot of practical things that I've learned that I've gleaned from Scripture, this Scripture, but I think will help us, because the ultimate thing is that God wants us to have a healthy relationship with the people around us, who we work with. You may work with somebody that is totally annoying. Anybody like that at all? Somebody that's totally annoying? I mean, I do. I mean, and okay, some of you caught that. Our assistant pastor, Tony. And by the way, he works with somebody who at times is annoying too. Okay, we got a few of you there. And many times tensions rise and stuff, and tension's not a bad thing. Tension sometimes gets us out of our comfort zone to be able to find the pathway we need to take. But you work, or at home, there may be tension. Raising a family can be tension. I watched my daughter and my son-in-law, and they have four children ranging from 7, 8, 12, and almost 16. And I watch that dynamics of that home. We go over there to, you know, to see how they're doing and stuff. And, you know, I'll tell you one thing. The greatest thing when I go over there, you know, to see the family and the kids and that dynamic there is when I leave and go home. And because sometimes the tension's there when you're raising teenagers and stuff. And we know what it's like. We raised, you know, three teenagers and stuff in our lifetime. But tension's everywhere. And the art of communication is key. And the Scripture gives some clear passages about that, and we're going to share the passages in a second, and they give you some things to think about today. And if you're a guest here today, I hope this is a blessing to you, but more importantly, I hope you glean something from what the Scriptures teach us. I want to give three opening statements just to get our mindset about the principles of communication, first of all. The first one is, conflict is us wanting exactly what the other person wants. Conflict is us wanting what the other person wants. And what I mean by that, conflict comes because you want something your way, and they want something their way. You want to see it done this way, and they want to do it this way. Their opinion is this, and your opinion is this. Your principle or your conviction is this, and their conviction or principle is this. And usually conflicts come because each person wants things their own way. They have a certain practical understanding of what they want. Second of all, both parties want to be heard and understood. And that's the key to this, by the way, we're going to get to in just a second. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you feel like you're not being heard? Has anybody ever been in a conversation with somebody and you feel like you're not getting through? Boy, we got a pretty good response there, okay? Don't look at your spouse when you say that, okay? We've all been there. We all want to be heard and understood. And I'm going to give you a little principle here, too, real quick. Do not enter these conversations through email or text messages. Okay, that's the worst thing you can do. We all want to be heard and understood. I want you to know what I'm feeling. And by the way, my feelings and my opinions and my perception basically is based upon what I'm thinking. It may not be right or wrong. It's just me, and the same for you. And there's a key to the whole thing about communication we're going to get to in a second that will answer some of this. But both parties want to be heard and understood. Third of all, interrupting is a sign that you would rather be heard than listening to. Okay, we got a few amens there too. See, a lot of times is, and I've seen it before, and I've been guilty of it, although when I'm in a serious conversation or I'm dealing with conflict resolution, and I think those of you that know me know that the first thing I do is I listen, and sometimes to the point that making the other person feel uncomfortable, because I just want to hear what they're saying. And then I almost want them to repeat it so they know they've exhausted and I listen. But also when I'm listening, I'm gaining information that I may not have understood. And then if somebody then will listen to me, they may gain information they misunderstood and didn't understand. And that's where we're going to get to today. In the scriptures, we're going to talk out of the book of James. And James is a great practical book. I refer to it all the time as the New Testament book of Proverbs because it has all kinds of practical principles. And it's a wonderful book to read straight through and underline and write down notes because it will give you a lot of things that deal with relationship. And James was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus was on this earth and walking before crucifixion, he was not a supporter. He was skeptical. I mean, he had a hard time. If you ever had an older brother that already thought he was perfect, think about your older brother being Jesus. I have two brothers, and yes, my older brother many times felt like he was the apple of mom and dad's eye. I was more like the prune, but he was the apple of the eye. And I can understand that. So James, as he's growing up, and when Jesus was ministering, there was even a time when he critiqued why you know people following Jesus, because obviously it was his half-brother. But I imagine that when Jesus died and was buried, James probably thought to himself, see, he finally died for his misconceptions or his over-illusions of who he was. But when he was resurrected, I'm sure that when James saw his half-brother after resurrection, he began to say, this is really true, and he did. So he began to be an advocate for Christianity. He began to be a person that propagated the message of his half-brother. He also became the very first pastor of the Church of Jerusalem. And in that, he had to deal with many different situations in that church. And as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, when Judaism and Christianity were making the transition, when people that were Jewish that were following Judaism began to follow Christ, there was a lot of difficulties because they had to let go of the old and begin to move to the new. They had to move away from the restrictions of the law, and they had to move to the liberty of grace and of Christianity. Not a license to get away with anything, but simply it was a transition. It was more than a religion now. Now it's a relationship. And James now had to transpose this group of people into that. So in his church, he had everybody there was a Jewish person. The Gentiles had not been reached as yet, and they would not be going to this church in Jerusalem. And so here is James, he's leading this group of people, and there are all kinds of conflict. There are all kinds of resolutions that need to be healed and things that need to be accomplished to bring the two into one unified body. And he doesn't describe all the issues, but if you read through James, you can kind of get an idea what the issues were. And you can kind of read into it what he's referring to. So in this, he had to teach them how to do conflict resolution. He had to teach them how to approach communication and conflict the Christian way. Something we could all learn, because even in church, there is conflict. There is politics in church. My brother called me yesterday, and he just retired from pastoring. And he wanted to see how I'm doing. I'm doing good. He said, I'm enjoying, after 40 years of pastoring, I'm now enjoying going to church. I'm enjoying being ministered to and stuff. I'm enjoying writing and stuff. And he asked me, because as somebody who was elected to office in a number of places, including the State House representatives, he goes, which politics is harder, politics in government or politics in church? I said, by far, politics in church. Because there's more of an emotional attachment and there's more of an expectation that we're all going to get along. And so many times we have conflict because we simply don't know how to communicate and we don't know how to resolve our conflict. And James was doing this also. He had to deal with this. So in the passage we're going to read, I'm going to point out some things, and we're going to talk about the principle James has for communicating one with another. James chapter number 1, verse 19 and 20, it says this, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Let me point out some things about this. I think I know what the conflict here was. Because when you read that, I don't know if you saw what I saw or you get what I'm seeing, but there is a change in the way things are addressed. I think the conflict that he was dealing with here was the recognition of women in the ministry. I think the conflict here was the fact that there was equal footing now, whether you were male or female. Follow my logic here. James knows in the Old Testament and in the Judaism, and by the way, it got exaggerated during the times of Christ in the temple with the religious leaders, the Pharisees and all them. The recognition of women wasn't a key thing at that time. Men were the dominant force. When somebody was to address somebody, they had to address the male of the household. Women basically were subservient in a sense. And I believe when Christianity began and all of a sudden everybody begins to be seen as equal, that Christ came to die for all, men, women, children, or whatever, that it became a conflict, because in the church, and we do know this conflict lasted because if you study the letters of Paul, you will find there was difficulties in the church about the women's role in the church. And James, I'm sure, had to deal with this. And so he interestingly starts this part by saying, and it's interesting, he says, "My dear," where it used to be brethren or brothers, now it's "my dear brothers and sisters." Right off the bat, he acknowledges what he believes is the resolution to the conflict, that everybody is going to be recognized as equal before the Lord. Now, that's my presumption on that after reading this a number of times. It was interesting when you see that he actually addresses both sexes this time. I believe that was part of the conflict. There may have been other things. Then he goes on to say, and he says, "Take note of this. Listen to what I'm saying. Everyone should be quick to listen, should be slow to speak, and slow to become angry." And I think the key component here is this, is that if we're going to communicate, the first and obvious step to communicating and being heard and listening is to listen to what the other person says. And speak only. When he says here that we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak, which means you need to prioritize listening as a top priority in your relationships. And when you finally have exhausted that situation in listening, then slowly speak. You know, so many times in relationships, most of the times, we usually get to the point to where it's no longer a conversation, it's an argument. And then no one's listening. And we're throwing out things we should never say. Oh, you know, "You're just like your mother." Oh, man, don't ever throw that one out. "If you would have dinner on the table when I came home, that would be nice." Don't do that one. "And if you would help around the house, you have that bathroom that hasn't been fixed in 2 years, you said you were going to get to it 2 months ago." Yeah, these are the things that rile up emotions. Avoid that. And the way to avoid getting riled up in emotions, because it says here after this, is slow to be anger, is listen first, speak second. Now, here's the way I think this properly would be written so that we understand. "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen." And once you're quick to listen, you may have less to say, because some authors or some theologians believe that when it says slow to speak, it's meaning that if you listen enough, you'll probably find you don't have a lot to say afterwards. So slow to speak. And then it says here, and slow to become angry. And I believe the context of this is simply this. If you're in a conversation with somebody and you're dealing with conflict and you're wanting to communicate and you got your own opinions and you want to be heard, and that's understandable, if you go in with the idea that you're not so much concerned about being right but about making resolution, this process will work. See, most of the time we end up getting together to deal with an issue, a conflict or whatever, we go in with our mindset, I want to make sure I get my points across. I want to make sure that I say everything I need to say. I have a right to speak my mind. Actually, in the scripture, it teaches us we don't have a right to speak our mind. It tells us that we ought to show grace and restraint. And to me, if we go into it with this process, that what we will do, we will go in and listen. And when we listen, we will find that our speech will become more graceful and probably less worried about what we're saying, and we'll avoid anger. Now turn it around. If we go in quick to speak, slow to listen, it will create anger. You know, we already go into conflict and communication sometimes with already an attitude. We already go into an idea that it's not going to work out sometimes. But we ought to go into every conflict and every situation we're into with the attitude is, I pray that this is resolved and we walk together in harmony. If that's not your goal going into it, then you're wrong in the first place. If the whole world would learn how to talk and listen, governmental, nation to nation, we'd have a lot more harmony in the world. Do you know how many wars were created because of misunderstandings? Do you know how many battles were out there because of misunderstandings? Do you know how many families were broken up because of misunderstandings? Do you know how many churches have split because of misunderstandings? Many of them. Many of them. Because they did not listen first. Let me give you some thoughts here, and this is not on the PowerPoint. I put the PowerPoint together for the team here probably by Tuesday, but I've been working some things and reading and stuff that I want to share with you about this passage. Let's read it again. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, which is the result of those two first two. Because the human anger does not produce the righteousness of God. I want to say something about that real quick. It's interesting how it's phrased, and I checked with the original language. I'm not a big Greek student, but I do know some in Greek. It says here, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. You ever notice in some scripture it says it does not produce God's righteousness? But here it says the righteousness God desires. This is what I believe is meaning. It's not so much that it doesn't make us righteous. I think it means that it's not the right relationship, the righteous relationship that God desires for us. So let me give you some thoughts here today about what I draw from this, okay? First of all, everything everybody says and does makes sense to them. Would you agree? We're going to communicate here a little bit today, okay? Everything everyone does makes sense, or everything they say makes sense to them. That's called perception. And I believe that if you're going to have a healthy relationship, you got to understand your perception may not be their perception. Enter into communication with brothers and sisters, people, friends, family, workmates, with the fact that how you perceive things may not be the perception of other people. We all enter a conversation with a frame of reference. It's kind of what I just said. We have a frame of reference. I've gone through times in my life to where I enter into a conversation with a frame of reference. And let me kind of enlarge that a little bit, okay? When I moved to New England 24 years ago from Detroit, and then, of course, before that, I was in Kansas, and before that, I was in Missouri, and before that, I was in Indiana, and before that, I was in the military out of Norfolk, Virginia. So I had a lot of different places that I drew a lot of my own customs from, but my main roots come from Detroit. Come to New England, and when I first got here, there were things that I had in conflict with other people. Until I began to assimilate into the environment of New England. I learned that my frame of reference when I approach things comes from where I grew up, comes from my educational background, it comes from a lot of pain I have been through, it comes from hurt I've been through, it comes from my upbringing as a child, a middle child of three boys. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. All those frame of references. And when you're dealing with people that have a different frame of reference, conflicts can come. So remember that when you're communicating and you're listening, as James says, listen with the understanding that They have not been in the environments I have been in. They've not walked in my shoes, and I've not walked in their shoes. They have had different pains than I have had. And that will create a reference point, but we have to remind ourselves, we all come from different places. The next one, enter the conversation with the curiosity of what the other person has to say. I truly believe this. I think sometimes we enter in conversations waiting for our turn to speak, when we should be have a curiosity of what they have to say. When I raised the three children, and it was interesting because they would want to share with you something, and you'd have to sit down and really listen hard to make sense of it sometimes. And if you're a good parent, you would actually give them all the time in the world, and you were curious about what they had to say. We grow up sometimes, we begin to build these defense mechanisms to where no one gets in, and the walls are around me, and I'm no longer curious about what you have to say. If you want a healthy relationship, you have to have a curiosity about what the other person is thinking and feeling and wanting to communicate. Another one here is, don't always feel you have to be right. You can write yourself right out of a relationship. Now, this is hard for us, isn't it? It's hard. There are some people that are not that diplomatic. This is the way we're going to do it. It's going to be done this way. And over a certain amount of time, relationships around them begin to evaporate. I truly believe that, how do I want to say this? We sometimes think our way and our opinion is the only way. When you do that, you're not going to have strong, intimate relationship with people. Because there are, in everything we do in life, there are multiple ways to do it. We talk about church. Someone says, you know, this is the right way to do church. The Bible does not give any type of reference of how church services should be conducted. Not one iota. The two things it tells us to do that is part of the church is baptism and the Lord's Supper, communion. Everything else is opinion and choice. And every opinion matters. And you can be so right that you write yourself right out of a relationship. And that's damaging to you, to the other person in the group that you're working with and ministering with. Next one, anger comes when we fail to seek common ground. I'm going to give you a little principle that I truly believe in. And I think I've exercised it, not in perfection. But in a lot of things we do in church ministry, or a lot of relationships have, I've tried to be the kind of person that says, I would rather have you do it your way and be excited than do it my way and be, what's the word I want to use? Miserable. See, there's nothing more enjoyable than seeing somebody who basically, you know, they're doing something, they're serving God. And so when you sit down with somebody, you come in with the paradigm here, I want things my way, I'm going to communicate that. You have your ideas, but, and don't ever do this, since I'm the authority, a good boss and a good leader will never say, because of my position, this is what we should do. I'm the pastor of this church. I've been pastoring for almost 38, 39, whatever it is. And I can tell you now, my most successful times is when I release somebody to do it their way. 99% of the time, they succeed. If they did it my way, they would find themselves in a situation restricted, going through the motion. But when they do it their way, they're released to do it the way they want to, and God blesses that. Another thing is, always respect the fact that the ultimate leadership of every person ministering in church is God and the Holy Spirit. It's not a person. And we as leaders need to listen to what your heartbeat is and then find the common ground so that the work itself is successful. I truly believe that. And I have pastored a number of churches, and I got to tell you, I love seeing when somebody takes on something, and they come to me and says, is it okay for me to do this? Now, there are some times I have to say we can't do that. It may be a legal reason. It may be because of our insurance. You know, if somebody comes to me, I have this idea of doing this, but I said, well, if we do that, we have to get an insurance writer, and that costs money. I may have reasons, but overall, I say, let's figure out how we can make this work perfectly. And when you do that, you release that person to carry on their work. You know what? And when they're done with that job or whatever, you may have ideas that you should say that they should have done it different. Keep them to yourself. Or if you're going to share them privately. Always critique private, compliment publicly. And that builds a healthy relationship. Let me give you one more here. Give me two more. Anger is both a result and a decision. Okay, when you're in a conversation and things are getting heated, and you might say, well, it kind of blew up, and the result was we got mad at each other. Anger is a result, but it also is a decision. You can choose not to get angry. When I hear the scapegoat that it just blew up, and you know what happens? What happens? We just got angry at each other, and we just, you know, walked away. And, you know, it's a result of being anger. I know, Pastor, I'm sorry, it's a result of being anger. I always want to say, somewhere along the line, you let it get to the place where it was leading to that result, but you made a decision to let it get there. You could have taken a break and said, let's come back to this another time. You could have stopped and said, let's just calm down. And it's not easy, don't give me that. I've been in such conversations where you don't know where you crossed that line. But getting angry is a conscious decision, not just a result. And so when you listen more, and when you speak less, you may say, well, that's going to boil up my soul. Then you came in the whole thing just wanting your opinion to be promoted. But if you truly want resolution, you're going to walk in a different way. And let me give you the key to this before I get to the last point and the walk away. And this is probably common sense. If you love the person that you're communicating with, you will find a way to resolve. If you already have ill feelings towards that person, you will not find a way to resolve it. Don't look at me like that's not true. If there's already a difference, there's already something that's been building that hasn't been resolved before, and you walk in automatically knowing that I'm not putting up with this, you're going to have the result that God did not desire. And you may say, well, it's hard to love that person. First of all, the Bible tells us to love our enemies, do good to those that mistreat us. Whether you like it or not, you have a different mandate. There are people that are hard to love out there. I get it. But in all reality, enter each conversation with an attitude of love for the other person. Because you better hope they're entering into that way with you. Because if they're not, this is going to be a standoff. The last one before I give the walk away, this is not the walk away. And this is, I really want you to get. People want to be right at people. God wants us to be right with people. Very easy logic. God wants us to have fellowship. When James was dealing with this church, and you can read the whole book of James, and I may share some more thoughts out of James in a few weeks, but here's the thing. James really wanted them to get along. He wanted them to feel good about the overall fellowship. He wanted them to partner together. He wanted them to work side by side. He didn't want a fake unity. He didn't want different fractions in the church. He didn't want a split congregation attending the same place. He truly wanted them to say, listen, we are one body. And the overall principle in this whole thing here right now, it's not about the anger. Anger is a result and decision that will come. And it's not about speaking. The priority is not about speaking. You may say, I need to have a conversation with that person. Sometimes we say that we're thinking, I need to speak at that person. The priority that James sets up, he says, first priority is be quick. First, run to it. I want to hear what you have to say. That is the key to communication in conflict resolution. I want to hear you. Let me give you the walk away. The walk away, the longer you listen, the more you learn, and the less you, less angry you will become. And you know how I know that's true? Because I've been in conflict with somebody, and then we sat down in a very loving, heartful way. And after I listened to them, I didn't realize the reason why they felt this way is because they had been abused. I didn't know they felt this way because they were recovering from an addiction. I didn't realize they were acting this way because basically is that their family is breaking up. I didn't realize that they were acting this way and speaking this way and being negative. I didn't realize because at work they have been just demoted and been treated like dirt. I didn't know that, but I listened. All of a sudden I find out, my goodness, you've had a bad month. If I would not have known that, I would not have talked to everybody about you. You know what I mean? I would have came to you and said, are you okay? Don't tell me that doesn't happen. Usually before you talk to the person, you talked about them already. But if you listen, you may find out, I just thought you hated me. I don't hate you. I was just going through a bad thing, and I'm sorry you seem to be the conduit, because here's the thing about that, is usually the people we love the most get the brunt of the pain we got from somewhere else. Because we have nowhere else to dump it. But if we listen, we may find out, yeah, the reason why I was acting that way is because this is what happened to me last week. And you didn't know about that. So I'm glad we have a chance to talk, and I'm glad you heard me out before you started talking. Because now we know. Because it may make you want to speak less and give a hug more. Because everybody's dealing with something. And usually what we're dealing with will come out in the wrong places. Keep that in mind. So let's have the principle of communication. Let's learn to listen before speaking, avoid the anger, and take on the righteousness that God desires, the right conduct relationship that God desires. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? I wanted to, over the next few weeks, and still got some vacation time, so we're not doing series because I know folks would miss, although all of our talks are online. I just started reading through the book of James and just kind of thinking to myself. But I really wanted us to understand, as a church especially, is that we basically are a diverse group of people. We all come from different places. We have a diverse, as far as our ethnic in our church. We have a diverse, our vocations. All those different things give us a frame of reference. And so many times we do ministry together, and part of when I'm in the praise band, we have different backgrounds there, and we work well together. But I think the reason why we work well together is that there's a lot of listening, and I really love that about the band. I think overall in our lives, we need to learn how to communicate. You may have somebody in your life right now, it could be at work, it could be at home, it could be recreational, whatever it could be that you've been in conflict with. Maybe you just need to call them up and say, listen, seems like there's tension between me and you. I'm not looking to come and talk to you about it. I'd like to hear, is there anything that I can do? Can you share with me what's going on? Immediately, you may find them saying, you're the first person that didn't say, can I give you some advice? You're the first one that said, you got something you want to share? I just want to listen to you. If you're in conflict with somebody, listen. You want a healthy home life? Listen. Kids aren't easy to raise. Sometimes you're the authority, which is true. The older they get, the more you have to teach them the fact that you're going to listen to them out of respect for who they are, even though you have the authority. They will love you and respect you more. The key to all communication, it's funny, it's not in our mouths, it's in our ears. Learn that and build stronger relationships. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that you brought us together. I pray, Lord, that this practical lesson is helpful. I hope, Lord, that it helps me to refresh my memory on this, to be helpful to other people in the way I communicate to them, And God, you know, I have failed at it, and so has everybody in this room, Lord. But that's why we need sometimes to go back into the scriptures and look at the practical teachings of some of the great writers and learn some practical things. The book of Proverbs gives us so much about how we speak in the tongue. James covers us here. And God, my burden today, Lord, is just to help us, not only help our church to always be in unity, but to help us in our daily living to know that we're going to run into things and people that we're going to talk to, Lord, and we want resolution, if that's what we truly want, and learn that the first thing to do is say, let me hear from you. What's going on in your life? You know, where do you see we fell apart? Where do you see we have conflict? I want to hear from you. And listen, and listen. Don't feel you need to respond, but listen. And then when it's time, Lord, be humble enough to say, I didn't see it your way. I didn't understand it your way. I didn't know you were going through that. And show grace in that, and that grace will bond people together. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.